good afternoon, everyone, and want to welcome all of you to Session 68. That is partnering with parishes to provide legacy, estate planning, and end-of-life seminars. So before we get into the introductions, we will ask you to pull out your conference prayer either in your booklet or in the Whova app. Just go under the homepage and then documents, and you can find that prayer, and we'll read that together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Loving and gracious God, we ask you to open our hearts to your Son's life and ministry and to answer the call to be his disciples. May our response be rooted in the gospel. May we be ever mindful of the needs of our communities. And may our stewardship flow from a profound sense of gratitude for your many blessings. By the gift of the Holy Spirit, power inspire us to respond in a way that brings hope to others and reveals the love that comes to us through Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name, who is Lord, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, welcome, and on behalf of ICSC, I want to welcome you to the session. My name is Steve Homack. I'm the Director of Annual Campaigns for the Archdiocese of Seattle, and gives me great pleasure to introduce Jim Maslar and Jalinda Moore. You can read their full bio in the Whova app, but today they will be talking about their partnering with parishes to host planned giving seminars, the rewards of that, but also the obstacles. So on behalf of ICSC, Jim and Jalinda, I want to thank you for sharing your gifts of time, talent, and knowledge, and thank you for being here. So we'll turn it over to you.
Good afternoon. I've been to enough ICSC conferences to know I'm not allowed to speak until I'm at a microphone in these sessions. Quick question for you. Can you tell me, raise your hand if you have been in planned giving for 2 years or less within your diocese? Great. Raise your hand if you've been 3 to 5 years in your diocese. Wonderful. Well, as mentioned, my name is Jalinda Moore. I'm the Executive Director of the Office of Stewardship and Development and the Catholic Community Foundation, which all does fit on one business card for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. I've been in my current role for about 10 years, but with the diocese for 19 years now. And what I can tell you is after 19 years, we are not experts, but we're good stewards of the information that we learn and bring forth to you. I think one of the highest compliments that you can be given when you work in stewardship is what happened to me earlier today. I went up to someone and introduced myself after a session, and she goes, oh, I know you. We took your stuff and used it. And I thought, perfect. We then got into the granular, and today's session is exactly what she learned from. Jim and our colleague Kim Pahovey presented this information at one of the ICSC coffee talks earlier this year. So that's where some people have gotten some information about the program. What we know and what our experience in planned giving has been, because Jim will introduce himself, but just to let you know, he's been with the Office of Stewardship and Development and the Foundation for 6 years now. This is a long-term plan. Anytime you're working with planned giving, it's a long-term plan, and it's really laying the groundwork for success. And I can tell you that we've laid that groundwork. There we go. Our groundwork has been intentional, and it's been with the idea of knowing that we needed to get other people on board with what we were doing to have all the resources we need to be available to engage a larger group of people. So let me start by quickly talking about how we're set up, because if you've seen One Diocese, you've seen One Diocese. So the way we work is, in the Office of Stewardship and Development, at the top of the pyramid is Stewardship and Development. To the right side of the pyramid is the Catholic Community Foundation. To the left side is everything else. And that's how we're structured. In Indiana, we are structured so that the Archbishop is the sole member. But at the end of the day, when you work through all of that, what we're all trying to do is create information for people so that they know about the opportunity of planned giving and how their generosity feeds generosity. We're a fairly large diocese. We have 126 parishes. We are basically in the state of Indiana. We're just north of Indianapolis until it starts to get rigid down, and then we go straight across. So very large diocese that we serve. With that, when Jim came on board about 6 years, under the Catholic Community Foundation, we had a defunct planned giving committee. They weren't quite sure what they were going to do, how they were going to do it. So in 2021, they put together a strong plan. Jim's moving me through my slides. I told him I didn't need his help. I'm always wrong when I say that. We put together a strong planned giving committee. It's basically an entrepreneurial committee member who said, I have vision. I did this for my parish years ago due to a personal tragedy incident that he had in setting up an endowment, and I want to make this work. So the first thing that they did is they brought the planned giving committee to a healthy level. They brought the planned giving committee to a level where they set three goals each year. And with those three goals, they were extremely intentional of moving things forward. Jim's going to jump into kind of all the groundwork that the plan laid out. I'm just doing the high level for you. The other thing that they did is with the planned giving committee, they made sure they had the right people on board. The planned giving committee was made up of two priests, business managers, individuals that had good marketing experience, and financial advisors. And the goal of all of these planned giving committee members was to bring them on knowing that one day they would be really good board members that could serve us. So they began creating a pipeline. About 10 years ago, we went out to our pastors and said, if you had money to give and to invest and to grow, where would you put it? And the majority said, well, I have no idea. They had no idea who the Catholic Community Foundation was. So what we knew is one of our goals that we had to achieve was educating our pastors on who the Catholic Community Foundation was. So we began calling and inviting ourselves to deanery meetings to introduce ourselves. This is who we are. This is what we want to do. And this is how we can help you. Part of our overall plan that's put together is a plan of walking beside our pastors, not telling them what to do. It's advising them on what we know are best practices and encouraging them to trust us along the process. The last thing that we did is we realized that there was a gap in planned giving professionals, those who were doing estate plans, those who were professional advisors in the Archdiocese, even asking the people the question, would you leave a charity in your will? So if you went to any of the other planned giving sessions this week, you've probably heard That question is not often asked. And you especially don't get the question, would you leave the church in your will? So Jim and his committee started a newsletter series that went to pastors, business managers, key individuals like that to help educate them on planned giving. But in addition to that, a separate newsletter was created just for our planned giving advisors to help them have content, questions, and a prompt to even ask people to leave the church in their will. And I think we've got a piece up here that takes a look at what that looks like. So this is one of the newsletters that's created. And in that newsletter, for parishes especially, we have a parish toolkit where they develop a series of materials that can be used. They can be used as bulletin ads, different pieces. They're pretty generic. Our parishes can customize them or work with us to customize them. But what we wanted to provide was tools at people's fingertips to begin talking about planned giving. Jim, would you go into some more details with everyone?
Sure. My predecessors and colleagues over the years have built this great treasure trove of planned giving resources, ads, bulletin blurbs, and pamphlets, printouts, all that kind of stuff. But in working with parishes, the common denominator was that nobody really went into the box account and went through all the folders and combed through all the different options and picked one and then inserted it and downloaded. So one of the things we wanted to do was, well, let's provide them ready to go on a silver platter once a quarter. Here are three bulletin blurbs. Here are two bulletin ads. Here's a social media post. And here's a little video if you want to share it with your parish. Not necessarily that everyone uses them, but it lowers the barrier greatly for them to have to comb through all that stuff. And we just kind of self-curate the resources for them and then present it to them once a quarter. So that was kind of the idea behind it, was we had a lot of resources, but getting the parishes to actually use them was a huge gap. And so this is 2 years in the making, so we're starting to see some progress and success, but that was kind of the idea behind it. Not perfect by any means, but it gets us a little closer to helping the parishes actually use our resources. And at the end, we give them one plan giving tip or suggestion for the quarter, based on a gift theme. So this past August, the theme was stock gifts. And so our promotion tip was simply, and it seems like you don't even have to mention it, but to include a give stock button in your online giving or on your stewardship page at your parish that links to the Archdiocese portal. Simple thing to do, but not many parishes have that. So just giving something that's really attainable, doesn't take a lot of work, and we provide the resources for them. So something that planned giving can be kind of tough to track things or provide measurables because a lot of these gifts aren't coming in, you know, that year or even 5 years down the road. So we try to come up with different metrics that we can track some of our successes. And one was just to look at, of the parish staff we're sending this out to, how many people are actually opening it. So I know you all have that with the various, I forget what we use for, I don't know if we use Flocknote for this one. But you might notice a jump down in the number who received from fiscal year 23 to 24. That was simply a data cleanup project. So it wasn't that we had half of the staff tell us they didn't want to receive it. But something that was very positive for us, I'm not a social marketing person, so I was told that 49% open rate was pretty good. And so one that tells us that it is of interest to our business managers and pastors, and they are opening them. Some of them are using them. And we have 126 parishes, and Jalinda and I don't have time to go to everyone's website and comb through and see. But I've been keeping track of when I do stumble upon a parish that is using one of our things, I'm keeping a running list to share with our team the little successes. And then also, I'll get to this later, of parishes are much more open to learning what other parishes are doing as opposed to what the diocese is telling them they should do. So this gives us also an arsenal of, hey, you should check out St. Malachy's website and, you know, St. Bartholomew, what they're doing. So kind of using this to help build trust and relationship with our business managers and pastors. Are you all done with your part? Sorry. Okay. So Jolinda provided some of the context and some of the intentional groundwork that was laid, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the plan giving seminars themselves. First, the pre-seminar collaboration and working with parishes, and then to the seminars themselves. But what I thought was I would start with an end realization up front. And as you might guess, it might be a little shocking. But what I found was that for cultivating plan gifts at a parish, the lead up and collaboration, the pre-seminar work with pastors and business managers is actually more important than the seminars themselves. So the pre-work, working with the pastor and business manager, the finance chair, the bulletin person, all of that work the month or so or two before ends up having a way bigger impact on the planned gifts at that parish than the success of the event. So that's something I want to share with you. Even if the success is a flop or the event is a flop, all that stuff that you're doing beforehand does pay off. Now I want to ask you, I don't want to show you the answer. Why do you think that is? Anyone have an idea? Why would I say that is more important than the event itself?
Most people at the parish level have all the information.
They have all the information.
The relationship with parish staff.
Yes. The relationship trust that's built opens the door for ongoing collaboration beyond this singular event. And as I'll mention later, a lot of times the same parishes that put on an event are coming back and asking us to do it again the next year or 2 years down the road. So if you're taking anything away from this presentation, this is a key point to keep in mind. So that pre-seminar stuff is, I found to be very important, mainly through trial and error, not through any sort of wisdom, self-inherent. So I started doing seminars 5 years ago. 2019 was my first one. And I'm going to get into the details a little bit later, but it was rough. It did not go as I imagined it would. But since that time through now, we've had some great events, had developed some great relationships with pastors and business managers. And I just want to share with you a few approaches, ideas that have helped me or that I've learned along the way, when it comes to that pre-seminar relationship building with pastors and business managers. I do want to say at the end, I'm going to be turning around and asking you all to give us ideas. So keep that in mind as we're going through this. If you think, we actually do X, Y, or Z, and it's probably better than what he's suggesting. We want to hear it. So the first thing that, before this position, I was a high school teacher, and each year I taught a semester on Catholic moral theology to juniors in high school. So, as you can imagine, teaching morality to the modern teenager, you have a little bit of, you kind of come at it as, my audience is kind of skeptical and is probably not all on board with what I'm trying to present, what I'm trying to teach them. And so I kind of got that muscle in my preparation for class got built of constantly thinking of the lens, how is this going to be received? What questions or skepticisms are they going to have in their mind, even if they're not saying it out loud, to help me prepare to basically anticipate those and talk through that. Why do I bring that up? Because not that parishes are like teenagers in morality class, but taking that same approach of what, from the parish's point of view, what skepticisms, what blocks, what holdups are potentially there that's going to impact this pre-seminar relationship and ongoing collaboration. And so two main ones that I've come to discover, I'm sure there's more. The first one being that parish diocese dynamic. We kind of have a joke in the office, and when we tell people this, they laugh, but it's kind of a laugh, it's kind of true. But we have this idea that people look at the archdiocese, the downtown, the chancery, as kind of the Death Star. They're kind of in the front lines doing all the work, and you know, we're just kind of the annoying people downtown trying to tell them what to do. So just being aware of, like, that's probably some of what they're thinking, even if they don't say it out loud, really helped informed how I wanted to approach them and the language I wanted to use in building that relationship. So you can raise your hand if you want, but some of the thoughts behind that that just kind of came to think that was maybe at play in the background. So no matter what organization, there's always a little bit of central office satellite distrust, whether it's the faculty at a school and the administration. There's always a little bit of that. So that's just a natural thing. When it comes to diocese, parishes sometimes might be skeptical of your motive. You know, are you just trying to get money from us? Are you trying to take some of our donors? What's at play here? Are we in financial trouble, and are we at risk of being closed? All those things that can run on in their mind. Maybe someone before you, that the pastor felt that they were mistreated, or they didn't get what they had wanted in working with a predecessor, and so there's a historical gripe, maybe. Some parishes might be thinking, well, we don't need any help. We got things figured out. What can you tell us that's going to add to what we're doing? I think there's that idea of, we're in the trenches. We kind of know what's going on day to day. You all are in your central office downtown, kind of that ivory tower telling us what to do mindset. And then kind of going back to, are they trying to kind of take some dollars or donors for the diocese from the parish? Okay, so that's a lot, and maybe it's me being way overthinking it and being oversensitive, but it has helped in how I wanted to approach pastors and parishes. The other big obstacle was that you all know this, pastors, business managers are all wearing 15 different hats and are spread super thin. So even if a pastor or business manager are really on board and excited and are open to this meeting, and they might intend to carry things out, the reality is they have very little bandwidth to take something on extra. So one of the things, my first year or two, looking back at things that the foundation had done, is like 10 years prior, the foundation had created this parish plan giving program binder. And it was so good. I went through it. I was like, oh, these are great ideas. The problem was it was too good, and no parish used it. It was, I think, 40 pages long, and with the idea of, yeah, everything in there was great, but no parish had the bandwidth to do that. So keeping in mind that whatever we were trying to do with a parish, we want to make as easy as possible, as silver platter as possible, ready to go as possible, so that they lower that barrier so they actually are interested in executing that. So now that we have those two obstacles in mind, so how does that impact that pre-seminar collaboration? Some of this probably seems self-evident, but it helps me being able to concretize it and to name it. But it really helped to try to consciously and sometimes maybe overemphasize the customer service, servant leader language that you approach a parish with. The best way I can capture that is I want to share four phrases that I've found helpful, and you can certainly add to them or change them as you will. But to just give you an idea of what I mean. So the first one being, we want to do a better job of serving you and your parish. So, and under each I'm going to put which obstacles are hopefully being spoken to. So immediately in my mind, that takes a little bit of the defensiveness off the parish of, you're not doing anything wrong. In fact, we're the ones that are kind of fell short in recent years, and we want to do better to help you in your plan giving efforts. So right off the bat, defensiveness is kind of cut down. Skepticism of your motive. you want to help them. It's not them doing something for us. Emphasizing that you want to help the parish. So it's not about redirecting dollars or donors. A next phrase that I often use is, we want to learn how we might be of better help to you in cultivating planned gifts for your parish. So again, the idea of coming from a stance of humility kind of cuts into that ivory tower skepticism of, we know we haven't been perfect collaborators and we want to improve, and we want to learn from you ways that we can help and improve. And emphasizing gifts to the parish, so we're not trying to take dollars from you. We know that, but you know, we're all trying to help each other and lift all the boats of the diocese, but it helps to say it out loud to pastors, to business managers. Next is, we want to share what some other parishes have tried, things that have worked for them. Again, this one, I think if pastors and business managers are honest, they are probably much more interested in hearing what other parishes are doing than what we're trying to tell them. Even if it's, at the end of the day, those parishes that are doing that are using ideas we gave them, at the end of the day, that it helps kind of cut through that. And then last, we can provide ready-to-use resources that you can use and customize as you like. So again, we're not trying to impose this program or this idea on you and you have to do X, Y, Z as we say. We're going to provide things ready to go, so you're not going to have to put much effort into it, and we're going to handle as much as we can, as much as you allow us. I'll just leave it at that. So those four phrases, I think, kind of capture the spirit I've tried to approach, and it's seemed to have worked pretty well with building that trust, because you're coming from a place of humility, of wanting to serve, and not trying to have any sort of secret motives that you're brewing in the background. The last thing that has proven invaluable, and maybe this is the most important, seems obvious, but having first, before you ask to collaborate on a planned giving seminar, before you even bring that idea up, to first have a face-to-face meeting with the two key players who are instrumental at having a seminar at a parish. I'm sure you all are thinking the same two people. Does anyone want to guess? The pastor and the business manager, yes. Now, with the presbyterate, there is a whole spectrum of pastors that are open to meeting with you, that are open to the idea of planned giving, to those who are interested, ambivalent, will hear you out, to those that have no interest at all. So that can sometimes be a little bit of a question mark. So whether they'll even return your call or email or note in the mail, but the gatekeeper to the parish, as you know, is typically the business manager. And they're much more likely to respond to your outreach. And so what I would say is, if you can't get through to the pastor, and doing it together with both of them is ideal, but if the pastor's not being responsive, the business manager is the best doorway through. And it's good to at least have tried to include the pastor up front. Because there has been a time when I got burned where a pastor was mad at me because I didn't ask him first. So just keep that in mind, a trial and error thing for me. Okay, so you might have a plan giving seminar in the back of your mind, but really what you're trying to do is help plan giving at the parish. So when you meet with a pastor or ask to meet with them, well, what are you going to talk about, or how are you going to present the potential of planned giving to them? And so the most helpful approach that I've kind of learned over the years is giving the big picture, kind of the national picture of planned giving potential. So kind of thinking of like the Russell James data and the national statistics, U.S. giving, all that kind of stuff, or giving USA, sorry. To then maybe provide them an idea of what the archdiocese situation looks like, and then to really personalize it to the parish. And so one of the things that we developed early on in this re-effort or intentional effort was bringing with us a takeaway, a one-page takeaway for the parish, for the pastor business manager, to have with them, to go through with them, and for them to take away and maybe look through on their own. So this is not a sheet that we encourage them to share with their parishioners. This is something internal for them. But we called it the Parish Bequests and Endowment Report. And I'm going to zoom in and go through just a few of the things that I highlight, because it gives you a template of what you want to talk about. It gives them something in front of them, and it kind of contextualizes the opportunity there. So you'll see the bullet points on the left side, and on the actual sheet, I do have those three highlighted because I don't go through every bullet point in the meeting because that talks too much, and who knows if they're listening. But I do want to highlight those three because I think they capture the core. The first one being kind of that national context that their parish, so I'll just read you the clip here, particularly with the great wealth transfer, as you've heard probably 18 times this weekend, in the U.S. over the next 20, 25 years, each parish has an unprecedented opportunity to benefit from their parishioners' estate planning. So, okay, you're setting the big scene of there is a huge opportunity for you as a parish that we want to help do what we can to help you with. Next, and this is maybe the most true of any of these bullets, is that the main hurdle simply seems to be education and invitation. We found that people would consider leaving a bequest to their parish, but perhaps they've never thought about it or were never invited to think about it. So in the back of our mind, this is where later on bringing up a plan giving seminar can speak to this reality. So education invitation is 98% of the work of plan giving. And then last, just to, we know this, I think they probably know this, but I just want to emphasize, the Archdiocese does not take any cut of your bequest money, anything we help you with, any gifts that we help process. There's no tax on that. Again, it just kind of helps lower the guard of what's their angle here, what are they trying to get at. For the Archdiocese context, maybe 5 or so years ago, we had all this data from accounting on Sunday holiday giving, endowments. But one of the lines was bequest income. And so we had all this data and we decided, well, let's take a look at it and see what's a snapshot of our archdiocese in a given year. What kind of bequest income are we bringing in? How many parishes are reporting any bequest income? Because it's way easier to broach the idea with a pastor if you first start with, this is a look at our archdiocese as a whole. We have only about one third, a little less than a third of our parishes report receiving any bequest income in any given year in the last 10 or 11 years. The average parish has 15 or so burials per year, and the average bequest gift to a parish, we have a $73,000. So I try to emphasize that there is a huge potential that only a third of our parishes are getting any bequests. You know, from the average of 15 burials, you're thinking there's 15 faithful that have passed on that you're not getting any estate gift from. And that just one is over $70,000 on average. So it just kind of maybe perks up there. Okay, there's maybe something to this. It's not just me saying this, but he can see the hard data. And then last, I'll take a zoom into the parish's numbers themselves. So this has been very invaluable too. So you're going from the big context to the archdiocese. Here's where we're at. Here's where we want to prove. And then your parish will say, this is looking at your parish. This is the last 10 years of bequest income that's been reported to us. We want to help convert those zeros or some of those zeros into bequest gifts every year. So we'll have the number of households, just so they have an idea of their flock. And then we'll also include the average burials per year. Now why? Again, to kind of get at the concept of, if you can convert just two or three of those burials per year for your parish into a bequest gift, you know, let's say that's three, that's over $200,000 to your parish every year. So to me, it seems like you're not asking to try to get all 25. Just a couple can really change the dynamic of your parish's resources. So at this point in the meeting, you very much have their ear and interest. And you have the data and kind of the wherewithal because of this that they know they maybe can trust you a little bit more. And this is all on Whova, so if you want to use any of that or make it your own, please do. And then I'm just going to go through this quickly, but on the back, we also list their endowments that they have with us and its value in their last year distribution. Crazy enough, but some pastors don't know all the endowments they have or if they have any. And so this is an opportunity to share that with them so they know that you are associated with endowments. But also to say endowments can be great receptacles for estate gifts. And this is often, eventually, not necessarily in this meeting, but as you continue to work with parishes, of bringing up to them the idea of setting a parish bequest policy, that this has proven very beneficial to the foundation and to parishes. And essentially, it's encouraged them best practices of other parishes is that your parish creates your own. If we get a bequest gift that has no designation, this is how we've decided we're going to distribute it. A third is going to go to our endowment, a third is going to go to our savings, and a third is going to go to whatever the current need is. And we share with them the archdiocese's own, which is based in that third, third, third. But then give them, say, you can make it whatever you want. This is just a suggestion. But more times than not, all the ones that have been created in the last 5-6 years have included their endowment in that. And we've seen bequest gifts come in to parishes' endowments purely because of their bequest policy. So if you have questions on that, that's a tangent. It's not really what this is about, but found some success there. So in that meeting, you hopefully have won over a little bit of trust and got his ear. And then you can maybe talk about what are some of the low barrier to entry resources that you can provide. So, for example, I might say, hey, Father, we put out a quarterly toolkit that just has a couple bullets and blurbs and ads and one idea that your parish can implement. Would you like to be on that list? Yeah, more times than not, they already are on the list. They just don't really look at it, but they will. But you're just kind of, you're showing them that we're trying to serve them and give them something they can use right away. Sometimes I'll offer, I'd be happy to speak to your finance committee to kind of go through this report and answer any of their questions, give an update on the parish's endowments. And that can be hugely beneficial to get access to the leaders of the parish, at least in that realm. Providing them bulletin blurbs, very low barrier ideas. Have you ever thought about adding a checkbox to your parish stewardship card of, I've left St. Matthew in my parish, or I'd like to learn how to do that? Simple thing to do that you can start to build planned gifts to your parish through that. So back to the topic of planned giving seminars. So this is all kind of the back pre-seminar, face-to-face meeting with the pastor, business manager. So then typically at that meeting, I will not say, hey, what do you think about scheduling a planned giving seminar? It's too much too soon, too fast. But in the back of my mind, I know in subsequent outreaches or emails or phone calls, I might bring that up as, hey, this is one resource that we can provide. So in that meeting, I might say, some of our parishes are kind of a common thing a parish does that wants to build up planned giving is they'll put on a seminar for their parishioners, and I'll explain kind of what it is. And so, that's always an option if you're ever interested, and just kind of leave it at that. And maybe they will say, yeah, let's do that. Tell me more about it. But just kind of planting that seed of this is something that we can set up together. Okay, now to the seminars themselves. How are we doing with time? 2:39, okay. Okay, so the most important part is the pre-seminar. But when you actually get to working with the parish and they say, yes, let's set it up, they're likely going to have anxieties and questions about how are we going to do this. And again, you're trying to balance that fine line of we want to provide resources and scaffolding, but we also don't want to tell them what to do because they're sensitive about that. So how do we handle that? So they might ask, well, what topics do we want to cover? What about timing? Should we provide food? What day of the week should we do? Who should we have present? Should Father present? Should Agnes, if someone used that as a stereotypical church lady, should Agnes present? How do we market this? How do we get people to come? Do we RSVP? Do we not? How do we follow up? And so what we wanted to do was we wanted to walk that fine line of we wanted to give the parish the agency and customization while providing a scaffold and kind of best practices that other parishes are using. Because for one diocese is one diocese, the parishes are vastly different as well. And something that's absolutely true, and it's not just a ploy to get them to work with us, absolutely true is they know their people best, and they know what format, what time, what invitation technique works with their people. And for our diocese, we have urban Indianapolis, Louisville area to farmland, rural, and there's differences there, and the parishes know best how to implement that. So we created just a one-page guideline or scaffold of here are some ideas of how to set up a seminar, and here's what other parishes have used, here's what we would recommend if you're looking at starting from scratch, but feel free to customize it and make it your own, and we would want to help you as much as you want us to. So we'll start by one of the main questions is, well, okay, what does the format look like? What is the logistics? And we've had seminars that were all Saturday morning where the parish has four different speakers that are each 45 minutes long and, you know, they serve a little lunch or breakfast with it. We've actually had a parish that has success with that. So this is just a again, the parish knows best what's going to work for them. I would not recommend that necessarily up front because, but some parishes have broken this up into like a monthly series where one topic's covered this month, the next month, that they kind of advertise and kind of work into a season. And that can be successful. But typically the format that we'd say works most often or that most parishes seem to gravitate towards is kind of a 60-minute, give or take 15 minutes or so, seminar where plan giving is not the only topic. Because as excited as you and I get about plan giving, it doesn't necessarily break the doors down to get people into learning about it. And so, which will come to my first seminar and how it was not a disaster, but it was rough. So what we tell them is that we really encourage you to just have no more than three. Two is great. No more than three 15 to 20 minute topics. And a typical format is the pastor will talk about spiritual planning, so kind of last rites, cremation, burial, all those kinds of questions. And he might want to focus just on one or two of those. So you're involving the parish leadership in that. We'll usually have a segment on estate planning 101. So the main documents you should have, and these are the conversations you should have with your attorney and family. And that's the middle 15 or 20 minutes or so. And then we dovetail very nicely off of that estate planning part. Because then that is, how might your Catholic identity and values be a part of that estate planning? And that's where we get into plan giving for the final 15, 20 minutes or so. And then open up to questions and answers. So something we've learned, if you're going to take something away, is we'd recommend against doing plan giving all by itself. It has worked at some parishes, but typically it doesn't really bring as much as funeral planning, spiritual planning, estate planning. We also provide them different topics that other parishes have inserted instead of those. So some parishes might do funeral planning, Catholic advanced directives, Catholic cemetery plot buying and all that kind of stuff. So it gives the parish agency and ownership of this by allowing them to kind of make it their own. A quick plug idea. We found some success in presenting to men's groups or seniors groups, ladies groups at parishes who have an ongoing monthly or quarterly meeting and speaker. Though that's kind of an easy thing to plug into at a parish. So as you're talking with them, see if they have a seniors group or a men's group or a women's group. Because they're typically looking for speakers or topics to kind of broach, and that's of interest to them. Timing and refreshment. It's okay. Timing and refreshments. We've found, and this is, again, it's not always the case, but we found that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday evening seems to be the best. Monday and Friday, stay away from. You want it in the evening, but you don't want it too late, because a lot of the potential attendees might not like driving in the dark. And so we might recommend spring or fall as some ideal times to do it. If you have an evening mass, having it right after that is great, because you can maybe attract some captive audience there. And it's a nice kind of continuation. If not, somewhere in that 6 o'clock to 7 window, so it's not too late, not too early, so people that want to get after work. Saturday after the vigil mass has worked, you know, if it's a 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock mass, having it after, and maybe the parish has a little dinner or something. Again, you can get people, captive audience. Sunday after the last mass, not too often do we see that. And then Saturday morning sometimes, but that's a rare occasion where the parish put on a whole series and got people to come. So an issue of great anxiety, you might not think this, is what do we name this? How do we market this thing? Because as you've learned, you don't want to say death. You don't want to say end of life necessarily, though sometimes they do. So I thought, well, I want to provide these parishes a list of titles that other parishes have used. We're not necessarily endorsing any single one of them, but just to get your brainstorm going. The two on here that have seemed to be used the most by our parishes is that first one, getting your house in order, and then they might have a tagline of their own. And then that last one in the first column, three plans or two plans your family will thank you for. And it's typically estate planning and plan giving or funeral planning. So providing them some, that can be an anxiety for them. And then last, giving them a list of, they might think, well, okay, how do we market this? What do we do? So give them a whole list of things they can do and pick and choose of, yeah, our parish does that, or they know how their people receive information more so than I do. So here's some ideas, but go run with it. And then some follow-up, write a thank you note, give them a call. Okay, before I turn it back over to Jalinda, I do want to say my first seminar, some errors that I learned was I talked too long, which maybe is right now too. It was only on plan giving, and I went into too much detail on specifics of plan gifts, and as you're giving it, if you've ever done it before, you have this sense of like, oh, these people just want to get out of here, but I feel like I have to finish this. It's my first one. I don't know what I'm doing. And so we revamped and kind of redid our portion on Catholic plan giving. And those slides with the notes that we use are on Whova, so if you want to download those or look at those. But we wanted it to be practical, just enough detail, emphasize Catholic spirituality, make it parish-focused, and then really tap into that legacy, personal story of the donor themselves. Okay. Sorry, I just put on these. We don't have time, but I was going to stop on some of these, but here's the majority of our slides. So what's the data we've had? Well, we've had about 10 or so a year since we kind of started this more intentional. Numbers are good, not great. The biggest obstacle is just our staff's bandwidth of being able to go out. And so Jalinda's going to speak a little bit more on that.
Thank you, Jim. Can you tell that he was an amazing theology teacher? But we're glad he's with us now. So to Jim's point, there's three people focused on plan giving, 126 parishes. And if you've worked in parishes long enough, you know that they only want to schedule things on the exact same night for whatever reason. So the team came up with this great idea of how do we create some tools that they can use on their own. This also helps with that anxiety of, well, what if we don't get speakers? Or what if somebody doesn't show up that night to speak, right? Somebody gets sick. So Jim and his team came up with some tools. I'll let you do that one. Yeah. of some different speakers that we could have on these different topics. So these can be used in two ways. Number one, they can be used at the planned giving seminars themselves. I would not recommend an entire presentation of only videos. But you can plug one in if you need it. Number two, as we're educating individuals, our professional advisors on planned giving, as it relates to the Catholic Church, we have tools we can send out in our newsletters. And even more, as we expand to reaching out directly to parishioners, we have some videos that we can drop into pieces for them to review as well. Jim, would you want to take the Father Dustin Boehm one and just show a couple minutes of that presentation?
Sure. So share the first minute and a half to give an idea.
I'm Father Dustin Boehm. I am the pastor of a few parishes out in East Central Indiana, St. Bridget in Liberty, St. Gabriel in Connersville, and St. Mary's in Rushville. And today I'm here on behalf of Catholic Communion Foundation to just talk about some end-of-life things, how we approach death as Catholics. And death itself isn't like a kind of dinner topic. It's not something we all normally like love to talk about. However, it is something that we need to keep on the forefront of our mind, because it is. It gives us a way to live, especially as Catholics. How we approach death absolutely impacts how we live on the everyday. But I don't want to really talk about the everyday living, but to talk about death and how we approach it as Catholics. One of the things that we do need to remember, though, about death that does impact us on a daily basis is that we should be praying for a well-provided-for death. And actually, there's one particular saint that we can go to, and that is Saint Joseph, that we should be praying, you know, if it's not every day, but like on a fairly regular basis, through the intercession of Saint Joseph, asking his intercession that we be given an opportunity to avail ourselves of all of the graces that God, through Holy Mother Church, does give us and does want us to have at the time of our dying and at the time of our death. And so one is just remembering, like, on a daily basis, if not on a daily.
So that's just a sneak peek for you. Our videos are out there. You can go on our website and take a peek at each of them. It wasn't fancy. A camera, a backdrop, and somebody who is an expert on the topic telling the story, and then some meshing of that together. But this kind of summarizes the tools that we're using in Indianapolis. How do we do more with less, and how do we educate people in the space that they're in? So as you can see, we've got some other measurables here of the impact that we've had and what we're expecting in planned giving. But I definitely want to be respectful of everyone's time and just ask the question, does anyone have any questions for us?
Are you going to be sharing these slides from this today?
Yes, I found Hoover. I have to put a link instead of the actual file because it's too big.
Okay.
So I'll try to put a link. That'll hook you to a Box account.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, because of time constraints and staff availability, I think it's difficult to do a lot of these seminars in private parishes. One thing we've tried to do, and I would like your feedback on this, is I'm asking the pastors now, can I just have 5 minutes before or after mass, whatever it is, make a quick little announcement, a quick little story, something about planned giving, I'll be in our vestibule, whatever. My thought is, at least I've got a captive audience.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm reaching a lot of people, but I don't know if they're necessarily motivated. So what is your response to that kind of approach?
Yeah. Let me ask the question in the microphone. So the question is, with not enough resources, how do we reach more people? And does it make sense to be at the pulpit before Mass or after Mass to talk a little bit about planned giving and introduce the topic so that people can visit you in the Northex afterwards? Jim, do you have any initial thoughts on that?
Well, I'd be curious to know if you found success with that or if you had a lot of people take you up on that.
The only
I would say, in some of our seminars, I always say if you have 5 couples or 10 people there, that's 5 couples or 10 people you didn't have before to share the message of planned giving. We see our average planned gift that comes to the church is $75,000. I would say that's probably worth your time. One suggestion that I would have to expand your efforts is, could you put together a planned giving committee of representatives from throughout your diocese so that they are the ones. So a representative from the local parish can stand up and say, I, as a member of this parish, want to educate you on planned giving. It's not the diocese doing it. It's the local rep doing it. Any other questions?
Yeah, Jim or Jalinda, have you found any success or parishes found success of running a seminar in the afternoon? You know, 2:30, 3 o'clock, most people are probably retired.
So the question is there success in running a seminar during the day? And there are participants in the room saying yes. The answer is yes. You've got your joy clubs that are happening. You have other opportunities. I don't think that's something that we've spent much time on.
I've done that the last few years with men's groups, or seniors groups where they'll meet for Mass at 11 or 11:30, whatever the parish has, and then host that afterwards. So that has gotten a good number. But as far as kind of the early afternoon, not yet, but definitely worth considering.
Great, great success at noontime, lunchtime seems to be the majority in this room. Yes?
I was just wondering, when you go to a parish group like the men, the old men, the seniors, do you host a whole seminar, or are you just the guest speaker, and how do you do that within their time constraint?
How much of the seminar do we put on versus how much of that does a parish put on is the question that's been asked, and how do we do that in their time frame?
Yeah, typically I'll ask the parish or that group's leader how much time they want us to talk. So I can pare down our seminar. It can be a full, typically 20 to 25 minutes, but I can make it 45 minutes if you need me to, as you might intuit here. And then you could shrink it down to 10 to 15 minutes if need be. So kind of see what they're looking for. And they might have someone in the group who's a financial advisor that wants to talk.
Make sure, at the very least, in your agreement with the parishes and what you're doing from them, you learn the names, addresses, and emails of the individuals attending, because that's your opportunity to do the follow-up. The other thing is you are partnering with the parish. You're not there to talk about how to grow specifically the Catholic Community Foundation or the diocesan funds. You're there to talk about how to grow a parish appeal, but letting them know that you will always follow the lead of what the donor's interest is.
Just one comment on gathering the names, addresses, and emails. If you have a CRM like Foundant or something like that, use the registration.
Yes.
We still get walk-ins, but you can follow up with those people to remind them to come.
Great point.
Is really strong.
Yeah.
Also having a good evaluation form at the end to pass out and collecting that information, their names, parish, what parish they're at, and then also having some additional questions. Have you thought about leaving a gift to your parish? Do you want to know more about the Catholic Foundation? So there's some key questions you can have on a great evaluation form that gives you great follow-up for the parishioners.
Perfect. So a registration form that you get the content from, a great evaluation after the fact, asking key questions to help you know how you did. And that concludes us today and is a perfect lead-in to there's the survey and your app where you can give feedback today on this presentation. Jim and I are here to be partners and walk alongside. Stewardship is sharing, And we're grateful for all the great work you do to promote your ministry. So thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jim and Jolinda. Good job.